So the reading is from Psalm 61, for the director of music, the stringed instruments of David. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against a foe. I long to dwell in your tents forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, if you've got a church Bible, it would be lovely if you could follow. We're on page 578, Psalm 61, and let's pray as we come to look at God's word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a loving God who speaks to us. Thank you that you've not just left us in the dark. Thank you for your love in giving us the scriptures. And we pray that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, who inspired the writers, may also work in our hearts to give us the understanding that we need to see you, to know you, to trust you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most one of the times that I felt most isolated and in danger was when I lived in Delhi many years ago. We got in an auto rickshaw. I don't know if you've seen an auto rickshaw. It's one of those tiny little yellow three-wheelers with a black roof, and they're very small. You can just about fit two adults in the back. And I'd given directions to the driver to take us to Connaught Place, which is in the center of Delhi, where we had to sort out some administration to do with being able to live in the country. But then I realized immediately that we had headed off in the wrong direction. And within a few minutes, we were in a deserted street in a very run-down area. And I feared that we were going to be knifed, our passports and money stolen, our bodies dumped in a ditch, undiscovered, left amongst the rubbish at the side of the road, of which there was a lot. Now, it turned out that the driver had misunderstood my broken Hindi that I was learning at the time, but also I assumed that he could read, which he couldn't. And so when I'd given him the instructions on a bit of paper, he had no idea what they said. But the whole experience left me feeling very, very shaken because I realized that we could go missing and family would never know what had happened to us. And it just fed into the whole experience of culture shock we had at the time. Part of it was that God felt so far away and prayer seemed so, so hard. We're in an unfamiliar country with millions upon millions of other people, unable to speak the language, thousands of miles from home. Now, I'm not expecting many of you to have been in exactly that kind of position before, but you may have experienced something of that. Those of you who've lived overseas, there are some nods here. Some of you who've come to live in the UK from overseas. But I guess that many of us at some point will have had that feeling that God seems very far away. And if you haven't, well, please be aware that it is a common experience. In the Psalms, we read it again and again, and it's been the experience of Christians throughout history. But perhaps the experience of isolation during lockdown over the last 18 months or so, or starting at university, moving away, starting a new job in a new place, or facing redundancy, or a major illness, or bereavement, all of those things can contribute to that feeling of just that God is miles away from where I am at the moment. And that is how David's psalm begins, his prayer in Psalm 61. David doesn't give us any background to what's going on in his life. I'm pleased that Jess included the heading, which is the first part of the verse in the Hebrew. But the one thing that is clear is that God seems far off. Verse 1, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. And as we listen in, we hear David praying. First, a plea for lasting refuge in God's presence. And then secondly, a prayer about the forever King in God's presence. And those are the two things that I hope we'll pick up and remember from this psalm. So first of all, a plea for lasting refuge in God's presence, verses 1 to 4. Aren't you struck by David's honesty? He doesn't pretend to be sorted out as he comes to pray. He is real. He pours out his heart as he reaches out to God, letting out a cry. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. Now, by the ends of the earth, David could simply mean the ends of the land, because the word means both land and earth. But the point is that he is a long way from Jerusalem, where God's temple is and where God's presence was known. David had had a pretty shaky time before he became king. He was hounded by King Saul, who feared him. But then even when David became king, there was a time that he had to escape Jerusalem. His son Absalom attempted a coup, and David headed east over the River Jordan along with others to flee for his life. Now, whether or not David wrote this psalm at that time, David feels that he is at the edge of the world, as far away from God as you can get. And he calls to God, as my heart grows faint. That's something that normally comes with extreme weakness. And if you've been watching the Olympics over the last couple of weeks, you'll have seen athletes showing that physical frailty, maybe at the end of a marathon, completely exhausted. Or then there have been others who've been buckling under the stress. And of course, a heart growing faint can also convey what we feel when we're discouraged or we're losing heart. And that has been very widespread over the last year or so. It's been impossible to maybe travel home or to be able to meet up with friends or family. And for those who are single or living alone, then it has been especially hard. And at times like these, like the ones that David's describing, those are good times to pray, when we feel weak and unable to cope and really unable to pray even. Not waiting until we've got our act together and we've got the right kind of words to be able to say. We can use the Psalms. God's given us these words to pray. Perhaps we even just cry out as David did. But what is it that David asks God for? Verse 2. He says, from the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Perhaps he's chased by an enemy, and David prays to escape his grasp, maybe sort of getting high enough, almost scrabbling up a cliff face. Maybe you saw those images of the terrible floods in northern Europe last month. And when the floodwaters rise, you need to get to higher ground really fast to be safe from the danger. And that is what David longs for. He longs for that safety and for God to lead him there. And why does David turn to God like this? Well, he remembers how God has helped him before. Verse 3. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take shelter in the refuge of your wings. If you've been to York or Chester or one of those other old towns or cities, you maybe have been for a walk on their city walls, those huge thick walls made of stone. And sometimes they have towers built into the wall where those places of safety are from attack by invaders. And those places have stood the test of time. They're still there centuries later. God has been that kind of security in the face of danger in the past. And so David knows that he can be trusted again. God himself is the safe place to run to. And to keep going as a Christian, well, it involves recalling God's answers to prayer in the past, but supremely and most importantly, remembering what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus. Where is God's love proved to us? Paul tells us, Romans chapter 5, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. It is while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. How do we know that God loves us? It is the cross of Jesus. Now, when David says, I long to dwell in your tent forever, in verse 4, at first glance, that may not sound very secure. I was preaching over in Windsor this afternoon, and twice in the hour that I was there, we had a downpour. Who wants to be in a tent in that kind of weather, or when there's a stormy gale going on, as we've also had? But the point is that it is God's tent. David wants to be with God himself in his presence. And that is where he'll find true refuge. And the tent that he refers to is most likely the Old Testament tabernacle, which was the precursor to the temple. So it's not just kind of any old tent. For you've been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take shelter in the refuge of your wings. I was in the Lake District a couple of years ago and visiting a property there, and there was a lake. And on the lake, there was a swan that was gliding across the surface of the water. And it was very calm and peaceful. And I noticed that one of its wings sort of sagged for a moment. And then this little head popped up. And then a few moments later, all these cygnets slid off the back of the mother onto the lake. And they'd been out of sight, but they'd been really secure, nestled in amongst their mother's wings. And it's a vivid picture of care and safety. And that is what David is longing for as well. Now, I don't know whether you are a Christian or not, but let me urge you to see that it is in God alone that you are going to find refuge and security. Not money, not academic success, not approval by your peers, not your dream home, not in any human relationship, because people will all ultimately fail you, even if they don't want to, because they will fail through death, if nothing else. You need lasting security, and it is only found in the Lord Jesus. Listen to David again. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you've been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. As we hear David pray, remember that this would have been a prayer of the Lord Jesus as well. We know that he prayed in great anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died, and then later on the cross. And as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And so let's hear this psalm as an encouragement to pray to God alongside this King of God's people using his words. And let's have confidence, as David discovered, that God does hear our prayers, even when we feel isolated, even when we feel far away from him at the ends of the earth. We can and should cry to God with great assurance that we are heard, not because we deserve it, but because he hears us for Jesus' sake, through Jesus. So wherever we are, however far away God seems, do call out to God. He is the sufficient protector and security for all who trust in him. But this psalm, as I said, isn't only a plea for lasting refuge in God's presence. It's also a prayer about the forever King in God's presence. And that's what we see in verses 5 to 8. So in verse 5, David prays, "For you have heard my vows, O God. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name." In verse 1, David had prayed, "Hear my cry." Here he's confident that God has heard his vows, whatever they were, whenever he'd made them. Probably they were promises to God of what he would do. Perhaps, verse 8 at the end, it's singing God's praise. But he recognizes that God has already given him something of great value, the heritage of those who fear your name. But what's that? Well, it's more often translated in the Old Testament as the possession of God's people. And that was the land itself, the promised land. If you remember, each of Israel's tribes had its share in this secure place to live with God. And so David has expressed his desire for God in these vows he's made, and at the same time, he humbly acknowledges that what he has comes from God's hands. So there's commitment and there's gratitude in his prayer. And then knowing this, he boldly prays in line with God, what God had already promised him, verse 6 and 7. He says, "Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him." Now, this isn't simply a sort of selfish prayer for a long life, with David asking this for himself. Throughout their history, the welfare of God's people was really closely bound up with the welfare of their king, far more than anything that we can sort of understand today. See, if the king lived faithfully in relationship with God by loving what's good, caring for his people, doing what's right, well, then the nation would benefit as a result of that. And so no wonder you'd want a long-living king enthroned in God's presence forever. And you'd also want God's steadfast love and faithfulness to protect him. They're almost like two bodyguards, one side, either side of the king, and their little earpiece and the curly wire sort of hanging down. Mr. Love and Mr. Faithfulness, and you do not mess with them. See, if the king is protected by God's steadfast love or his goodness and his faithfulness or his truth, well then, you've got a really secure future as a people. And so at the end of the psalm, verse 8, it's in this way that the king can sing praise to God, secure in his presence forever, and he can fulfill what he's promised to do. If he is kept by God like this, then he can make good on verse 8. Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. If he knows God's love and his faithfulness in that constant way, well, then he'll have all that he needs to keep his word day after day after day, living faithfully with God. Now, I said that David prays in line with God's promise to David. Maybe you remember that incredible promise. It was made through the prophet Nathan in the book of 2 Samuel. David had wanted to build a house for God, that is the temple. But instead, God said that he would build David a house in the sense of a dynasty, as people today might speak today about the House of Windsor. That amazing promise is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let me read to you verses 11 to 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 7, and then I'll jump to verse 16. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, although David's son Solomon did build the temple just as the Lord said, the subsequent kings were increasingly unfaithful to God, with a few exceptions. And so, centuries later, with God's people exiled in Babylon, at the ends of the earth, crying out to God, well, God promised another David-like king from David's house through the prophets, one who would rule well. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we hear many times in the Gospels, Jesus calling out, people calling out to Jesus, son of David, have mercy. A Canaanite woman, not an Israelite, two blind men, another two blind men in Matthew's gospel. Needy people, they cry out to the son of David, this good king, and he hears and he answers. And so while this psalm is a psalm of David, a prayer of David, he points ahead in so many ways to the Lord Jesus, the true and greatest king of all. After Jesus died on the cross to reconcile us to God, and after he'd been raised from death, he returned to God at what is called his ascension. And the ascension is about Jesus ascending into God's presence as God's chosen enthroned king forever. So Christ is the enthroned, is enthroned forever in God's presence, verse 7 of this psalm. And that is very good news for those who trust him, because it means that God's king is always at his post, as it were. You remember all the good ways that I said that we thought about for God's people in the Old Testament, if they had that king who was good and who was faithful. All the blessings that they had, all the good gifts from him. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. But because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. That's what we've been singing. And then he goes on, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. And that speaks of the true and lasting refuge that all Christians have spiritually. We're raised and seated with Christ already, even as we live in this world now, with all of its chaos and unpredictability. Christians are already secure with this forever King in God's presence. And what I understand now, 27 years on from that auto rickshaw incident in Delhi, well, it's that even if my worst fears had happened, I would still have been secure. I am still secure. God's King is now enthroned forever in God's presence for the benefit of all God's people. And that's a great comfort. It's a motivation to pray to the God who does hear us wherever we are, and who is a lasting refuge, that rock that is high enough, and that strong tower and shelter. Friends, let's remember that security and peace will only ultimately and finally be found in the Lord Jesus. At his return, when all people will recognize that he truly is King. And he's the one who now encourages us to pray alongside him. And so let's do that. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this psalm being here in the book of Psalms. Thank you for the way that it does help us to see that we can call out to you wherever we are today, however far we feel away from you. Thank you that you hear, regardless of what we feel. Thank you for the Lord Jesus being raised from death and being forever in your presence on our behalf. Thank you that we are united to him through faith, if our trust is in Jesus, again, regardless of what we feel. And thank you, therefore, that we are secure in your presence forever. Help us, we pray, Heavenly Father, to call out to you, to cry to you, and to keep trusting and longing for that day when the whole creation will be made new, when people will see that indeed Jesus is King and that he will rule perfectly over his creation and all will be made new. Please help us to keep looking forward to that day and clinging to you for Jesus' sake. Amen.